tonight is on a sad note, Lord, we gather together. We're so thankful that we're one loaf, one family. Lord, we belong to you. We're the family of God. But Lord, at the same time, we've lost a dear brother who I've watched grow up from a young man into to a fine young man, a tremendous athlete, Lord. I know that he is with you tonight. But Lord, and I know that you, even though the hearts of Lou and Rose and all the brothers and John and Lauren, their hearts are so empty and troubled and questioning and all that, we ask tonight that the God of all comfort, as you always do, would you embrace each and every heart and touch them, O Lord, and be near to the brokenhearted as you have promised and help them. And Lord, we thank you for tonight. We thank you that we're able to assemble here tonight, Lord, all of us, and even have the little ones here in the service with us. We ask you, Lord, as I always pray as we celebrate communion, if we have indeed sinned by word, deed, thought, or action, if we have grieved, quenched, or vexed the Holy Spirit of God in any way, then, Lord, we immediately run to the throne of grace. We lay down our lives. We repent of anything that has been displeasing in your sight. Because when we approach your table, Lord, we're doing it with a pure heart and with clean hands, O God. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin. And, Lord, thank you as we celebrate the wonderful birth of our Lord and Savior tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, and the church says, amen. Christmas Eve, Communion 2015. Well, you have everything. All the shopping is done. Amen? You didn't do any of it anyway, did you? The men, don't lie, because we're getting ready to have communion in a moment. Yeah, it was the women, they did all the work. It's so good to see. It's so good to see many familiar faces, especially some old friends that are here and so forth. It's always, I appreciate this time of year when we all come together. And you know, 2,000 years ago, we know what the birth of Christ means. We know that 2,000 years ago, a wonderful man, his name was Joseph, a village carpenter, you know, there with his wife, the Holy Spirit had overshadowed her, and now she's 9 months pregnant, and here they are. They're going to travel 90 miles to Bethlehem. How would you like to be 9 months and have to get up on a donkey or something, eh? I mean, that's got to be what you call a horrible trip. And there they go, and the Bible says in Luke, and I am going to be in Luke chapter 2 tonight just for a little bit. It says in Luke chapter 2, verse 6, and it says, and so while it was they were on their way to Bethlehem for her to be delivered, it says that she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, that pieces of cloth, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Can you imagine 2,000 years ago tonight, people say, what does Christmas mean? It means that God came from heaven to earth. He was born of a virgin, and he wasn't placed in a palace, but he was placed in a manger. You know what a manger is? A manger is a feed trough. You know, when I think about how when we're expecting, you know, and so forth, and maybe you're expecting tonight, your new one's getting ready to come into the world any day or maybe next month. And I know that parents, you have already been fixing up the house and or the baby's room with the crib and the colors and all those things. But I promise you that you would never, never take your child into the backyard and put him in a feed trough. Amen. But that's what God did for us, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But there was no room for them in the end, as you well know. And may I say tonight tenderly that it seems like there's not much room for Jesus in the nation that we live in, nor the Bible. But what's wonderful is there is room tonight in our hearts for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'm so thankful that Emmanuel, God, is with us tonight. And it says, and now they were in the same country, shepherds, living out in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night. And it says, and behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Wouldn't it be wonderful if everyone believed the good news, the good tidings? what God has done. What is the great news 2,000 years ago that happened that the angel announced to the shepherds there in the field as they were tending the flocks? It tells us in Luke 2:11, it says, "For there born to you this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord." I am so thankful tonight that Jesus came. I'm thankful that he came exactly the way he said, or God said he would. He was born of a virgin. Micah 5:2 says he was going to he had to be born in Bethlehem, and he was. What we need most, what mankind needs most, is a Savior, someone to rescue us from the penalty of sin and death and hell and the devil. Amen? Oh, and that's exactly what Jesus has done. Tonight, we know that Jesus is not in the manger. We certainly know he's not on the cross and or in the tomb. He's ascended to the right hand of God. And what did our Savior do? He purged our sins. When you celebrate the table tonight, when you hold that bread and you hold the cup, remember that Jesus paid it all. Amen? Now, it tells us here in 1 John 4:9, it says, "In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." People say, "Bill, why do you let all the little babies in here on Christmas Eve?" You know why? So you'll know what it was like when Jesus was born. Yes, that's why. There's no halo around any of the little infants here tonight, and there was no halo around our Lord. He was crying just like every baby. So see, we have all of our actors here and so forth, and we don't have to pay for it. Now, isn't it amazing that Jesus came and no one wanted him? And his own people, they even rejected him, hated him, and finally they killed him. You know, our Lord is our Savior. I'm so thankful that he came and that he saved us and that we know him and that we're born from above. And the Bible teaches us the reason about the Lord coming into this earth. It says in John 3:17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved." Yes, saved from what? Well, Matthew 1:21 tells us. It tells us that Jesus, he said, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save their people from their" what? "Sins." The things that have separated us from God, sin, transgressions, and iniquities. Thank God Jesus paid them all. 1 Timothy 1:5, you know, Paul cries out, he says, "Listen, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners." When I think of all the people, let's just say in our country, that have heard that over and over on TV, Christian Christian radio, in churches, there's only one way to be saved, and it's Jesus Christ. And you know, salvation is a gift, amen? You can't earn it, you can't be good enough. You can only just say, "Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord, be my Savior." Moms, Dad, listen, you know what? Tomorrow or maybe tonight you celebrate Christmas, I don't know. But whichever it is, tonight or tomorrow, listen, why not tell your kiddos the first thing to do, tell them the true Christmas story. Is that okay to do? Yeah, listen, you know, don't, you know, 2,000 years ago on a dark night, you know, the fat fellow, you know what I'm saying? Okay, the heavy duty fellow, the corpulent one, the one who's dressed in red, whatever it is, you know what I'm saying? He didn't do that, okay? I know that breaks your heart, but the fact of the matter is, you know, God is the one who sent his Son, born of a virgin, to rescue each and every one of us. Now listen, look at verse 12. The angel continues, "And this will be the sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men.'" You know, may I be weird for just a moment? Because you know that I am. Is that all right? You know, there's a tradition in our family, and actually Thomas is the one who started that, but it actually was in my generation, but he picked it up somehow. But you remember that song, "The War Is Over" by John Lennon? You know, whenever Vietnam, the war ended. And he wrote that song. Well, you know, I listened to that every Christmas. But I use it, when I listen to it, I listen to it with the video, that the original video that went with that, of all the conflict and all the problems all over our planet. You know, this afternoon, as I always do, Christmas Eve, this time of year is very reflective for me. It's a time that I prefer, really, to kind of be by myself and to be alone and think about next year and think about all that God has done for me and my family and all that he's done for you and this church. Amen? But I look out there tonight, and I don't mean to sound depressing, and I hope it doesn't depress you, but listen to me. It says, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. How I wish that were so tonight. How I wish that was the case tonight. Listen, you know, when we look out upon this world that we're in right now tonight, you know, loved one, violence, do you know that violence and war on our planet has literally forced and plunged 60 million people from their homes? Think about that. 60 million people. Did you know that's roughly the population of the 24th largest city on earth, which is Italy? Think about that for a minute. Did you know that tonight, one out of every 122 people on our planet, they are a refugee from war, from violence, the things, conflict, the things that are happening. There are over 10 major wars going on right now, from Sudan to South Sudan to Afghanistan to Iraq, all the rest of the places in the world. 10 major conflicts, wars. Over 20 armed conflicts are happening even tonight as we go home to our comfortable homes. Thank God we can. And I sit and reflect and I think about all that. And I tell you that I am thankful. I am thankful for the nation that I live in. I am thankful for the church that I pastor. I am thankful for the staff that I labor alongside and how much I love them and need them. I am thankful tonight. Listen, you know, when we think about our nation, the things on this Christmas Eve, I want us to go home tonight and be praising God and being thankful for all that he's given unto us. Amen? Amen. You know what happened this week? I know you have heard the news. Tommy Nelson, who I know there at Denton Bible Church, and then St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Denton as well. You know, they received bomb threats, and the police told them, they said, listen, it would be best if you did not have your Christmas Eve services. This is the world that we're living in tonight. You say, Bill, don't depress me on Christmas Eve. I'm not. Let me tell you something. We have overcome this world. Amen? We've overcome it completely. Yes. Now, and I sit and I say, oh, God, you're so good to me. Nothing. Do you know that there is not anyone? It says peace and goodwill toward men. Did you know there is absolutely, if you're a believer tonight, if you're in Christ Jesus, he is the Lord of your life. Listen, there is no one, there is absolutely nothing, number one, that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And there's absolutely nothing in this world that can take away the peace that God has given unto us. No matter what happens. You know, Jesus told us, he said, listen, you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. He didn't say, let your heart be troubled. He didn't say, let your lives fall apart, did he? He says, let your hearts be not troubled. This is not new to the Christian. We look out here and see the things that are happening. Nothing should shock us tonight. Absolutely nothing at all. There's going to be a day. I'm telling you, one day there will be peace. And he is the Prince of Peace, amen? And he is there upon the throne right now, and one day he's going to return. You know, the offer of peace with God, do you know it still stands tonight? I would rather deal with ISIS than God. Do you understand? I'm going, Lord, guess why God says, if you're not in Christ, the wrath of God abides upon you. But see, to those who are in Christ, we have that peace. Remember, the Bible teaches us in Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. But the cost was great. It says, through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful that we have that peace. Now, you know, the peace that I'm talking about is not a feeling, don't you? We have peace with God. Why? Because we're in his Son. It's not a feeling, it's a fact. There's nothing that you, if you're in Christ, there's nothing that can change it. You have peace with God, and I'm so thankful for that because peace is a person. His name is Jesus. You know, that justification that we have when we partake of the table on this Christmas Eve, I'm so thankful. I don't know why the doctrine of justification, it seems like it's not no longer really taught in the church today. And people, they're so, you know, when they get saved and 3 weeks later they go, am I really saved? Listen, if God saved you, you're really saved. Amen? And the Bible tells us in Romans 5:9, therefore having been justified, declared righteous, if you will, by his blood. Whose blood? The blood of our Savior. Listen, the birth of Christ doesn't save us. It's the death of Christ that saves us. Amen? When he bore our sin and took our sin. You know what justification is? That's when a person says, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. Come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. Save me. And if you really believe that, you confess that with your mouth and believe it in your heart, God says, I'll save you. And you know what happens the moment that you do that? We're going to partake in a moment of the cup of the new covenant. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. There's no removal of sin. The justification is a judicial act by God. The moment that you confess Christ as your Savior and you mean it in your heart, the Lord makes a judicial decision in heaven and he says, you're not guilty. You're no longer guilty. And you know what he does? He imputes to you, he puts into your bank account, if you will, the perfect, spotless, sinless record of Jesus Christ. Man, listen, I don't know how that makes you feel, but I guarantee you that's the greatest gift we could ever receive, because without it, there's no way you could be saved and no way you could ever go to heaven. Someone told me the other day, I think I've lost my righteous standing with God. I said, what did you do? He wouldn't tell me. I said, did you not tithe twice or something? No. I'm teasing. And I said, son, listen to me. Is Jesus Christ really your Lord? He said, yes, he is, but I blew it. I said, you listen to me now. The only way that you could lose your perfect righteous standing with God, just as if you had never sinned, because he's in Christ, you following me? The only way he could lose that, I told him, would be for Jesus Christ to lose his perfect righteousness. You say, Bill, that's a tall statement. Romans 8:1, therefore there is no condemnation, no judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? In Christ Jesus. That means all that Jesus is, we are now in him in the eyes of Almighty God. That's why we're celebrating communion tonight. That's why we're so thankful for the birth of Jesus Christ. Amen? So while we're doing all that, I want you guys to go ahead and start passing it out. And I'm not finished, but I'm going to keep going. And you just go ahead and gather up the bread and the cup and all that, because I want to mention one other thing to you tonight. This peace on earth. You know, it's going to be a day, one day, all of us that believe in Jesus Christ, one day there really is going to be peace on this planet. Amen? No, there really, really is. There's going to be peace all over this world. Do you know that one day there'll not be one conflict on our planet? I'm telling you that in that day, even the lion will lay down with the lamb. Amen? Oh, it's going to be an incredible day. Now listen to me. If you're in Christ, whenever the Lord takes us away in what we call the catching away of the church, the rapture, the 7-year great tribulation breaks out, we're in heaven with the Lord. And at the end of that great tribulation, we come back with Jesus Christ. That's what it says in Revelation chapter 19, 11 and following. We're going to see things that's going to blow us away about this planet. We know the things that are coming. We're not deceived. We're not children of darkness. Amen. We're children of the light. We know what's happening. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Don't let your heart fret about anything. When you go home tonight, loved one, listen, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the morning when you wake up. Thank God that you had a warm place to sleep. And when you open your refrigerator, there's a lot of food in there. Amen? But one day, one day, I'm telling you, there won't be, think about it, the absence of complete conflict upon our planet. Let me read that to you just so you'll know that I'm not lying to you. From Micah chapter 4, let me just read. It says, now in the it shall come to pass in the latter days. Now that's after the tribulation period, the second coming of Christ, that the mountain of the Lord's house, that temple in Jerusalem, shall be established on the top of the mountain and shall be exalted above the hills. And listen carefully, and peoples shall flow to it. Not attack it, not a bunch of suicide bombers, not a suicide bomber riding in on a motorcycle and blowing up six of our men and women in uniform as they did this week there in Afghanistan. No more Hezbollah or Hamas, no more ISIS. Oh no, none of that. And it says, and many nations shall come and say, come and let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. That's that millennial temple that's going to be there. And he will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion, that's Jerusalem, the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he, meaning Jesus, he shall judge between the peoples. And listen carefully now. Here it comes. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and nation shall not lift up sword against nation. In other words, they will not practice war anymore. Listen carefully. Neither shall they learn war anymore. Listen, can you imagine a warless world? No conflict. No one hating anyone. No one killing anyone. No more innocent children and innocent people and families. Oh, you know, no. It's all over with. Think about it for a moment. The subject of war will never, ever be taught, learned, or spoken about ever again. Now that is a day that I'm going to rejoice to see. When there's no more pain, none of those things happen. I am so thankful that God saved me. Are you thankful tonight? I'm so thankful that he has washed us in his precious blood. I'm so thankful that Jesus came to this earth and took our place, our sin, and died our death, and rose again for you and for me. I am so thankful. I'm so thankful for every family here at Calvary tonight. And so tonight, as we hold the bread and the cup in our hands, what we do tonight, we're doing because to remember our Lord. We look back how he took our place, took our sin, died our death, and now we live through him. He is indeed the bread of life. We look ahead, for as long as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he returns. Amen? Until he returns. Listen, even though we celebrate the birth of Christ tonight, the Bible doesn't command us to remember his birth. It commands us to remember his death. His death, because he paid for our sins. Our sin debt is paid. So we look back at what Jesus did on the cross. We look ahead and say, Lord, you may come tonight. Would that be a Christmas present? Praise the Lord. Man, I mean, I'd be young all over again. Whew, I could handle that. And then he tells us in the word, he says, you look back, you look ahead. But then he says, I want you to look in. I want you to look within your heart. If there's anything there tonight that shouldn't be there, repent of it. Don't eat the bread and partake of this unless you do. Say, Lord Jesus, I want to live for you and live only for you. Amen? That's what it's all about. So, Father, tonight, we love you and we praise you. Oh, Lord, I'm so thankful for this church. I'm so thankful, Lord, for my family, my brothers, my sisters. And what we do now, we do as a family, and we do in remembrance of you, Jesus, as we celebrate your birth and remember your death for us. In Jesus' name, let us partake of the bread. Before we take of the cup of the new covenant, listen carefully now. 2015 is about to pass into the night, amen? It's going to be over before we know it. We're not going to be celebrating a communion here in this chapel until next year. For me, I am glad that this year is ending. The divine determination that God said about his word for this year is certainly, that was a true word of God. We're about to enter a new year. And would you do something before we partake? By God's grace, by his promises, by his goodness, may we all leave our defeats and our hurts in 2015. Amen. And may we move forward in the power of another into 2016. All of the things that are happening. Listen, forget what might have been, could have been, and the should have been, and all the rest of it. And just look to Jesus tonight and walk in that newness of life that God has promised. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, what we do now, we do in remembrance of our Savior. Let us partake of the cup in Jesus' name. We love you. We praise you. We honor you, O Lord. We bless your holy name. Touch your people tonight. Bless their homes. If they're traveling, bless their plans as they travel and bring them back safely, O Lord. We ask it. We believe it in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen. Let's stand and we're going to close out with some wonderful singing, and we're going to light up our candles here. God bless you.